discrimination, do you say? Yes, indeed it is. But from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, God Himself has commanded discrimination. I wouldn't oppose it if I could. God commands the segregation of the races. In the Bible, God repeatedly warns us against any mixing of races, and especially against intermarriage and mongrelization. Some of this has been overlooked because of imperfect translation out of the Hebrew and Greek languages in which the Bible was originally written. Let's examine some of these passages and note carefully the exact meaning of the words used in the original languages. From the very beginning, the commandment not to permit mongrelization is strongly emphasized. For example, in Exodus 33, verse 16, "So shall we be separated, I and all of thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Again, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24, "I am the Lord thy God, which have separated you from other people." And in Joshua 23, verses 12 and 13, "If ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish off from this good land which the Lord your God has given you." Then Deuteronomy 7, verse 3, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son." Many warnings in the Bible are given not to mate with what our translations call the stranger. But the Hebrew words translated stranger in these verses are zur, nekor, and nokri, and each one means a person of different race from ours, not merely someone who has come from another city. There are other Hebrew words, bir and tushab, which mean persons who are aliens in the political sense, but of our race. But the warning against race mixing is always against those strangers who are zur, nekor, or nokri. Here are some examples. Proverbs 22, verse 14. "The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein." And that strange woman, that is zur. Again, Proverbs 23, verse 27. "For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit." And again, it's the Hebrew word zur. The reason for this warning is clear. Mongrelization is the worst form of what today we have been taught to call genocide. If you kill 99% of a race, but you leave the other 1% pure-blooded, they will in time restore the race. But if you mongrelize them, you have destroyed that race eternally. Once mixed with the black or yellow races, the white race would be totally and forever destroyed. Hence, God has forbidden it. For example, Psalm 144, verses 11 and 12. "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children." And that's the Hebrew word nekor, meaning those of another race. "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth, that our daughters may be as the polished cornices of a palace." Then take Jeremiah 2, verses 21 and 25. "Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a true seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" And again, that strange is zur. "Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidst, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. And what is the result of this? Hosea 5, verses 6 and 7 tells it. They shall go with their flocks and their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. And again, this word Zur, showing it's a mixture of the person of another race. Now, Noah was saved because he was pure-blooded, while those around him were mongrelized. The sixth chapter of Genesis, verses 2, 4, and 5, record the forbidden mixing of races and the evil results of it. But speaking of Noah, Genesis 6, verse 9 says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Now that perfect is the Hebrew tamim, without blemish or fault, and the word mistranslated generations is the Hebrew teledo, which means descent or ancestry. Noah, therefore, was a just man and without any blemish in his ancestry, no mongrelization. Therefore, Noah and his family were saved while the mongrels were wiped out. Did you know that the mixing of races, the mongrelization, is the sin for which Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? Yes, it is. Read Jude, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Those who are trying to force integration in the schools and churches are now beginning to admit that their real purpose is to bring about racial intermarriage. They've even deceived certain well-meaning but ignorant clergymen into helping them. Even without intermarriage, just allowing Negroes into the white churches is a terrible disobedience of God. Do you say, well, I didn't read that in my Bible? That's only because mistranslation concealed it from you. No doubt you were puzzled if you read Deuteronomy 23, verse 2, as it reads in your King James Version of the Bible. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. You wondered at this, because an illegitimate child is not to blame for the sins of its parents. And besides, why should the penalty extend for 10 more generations? They might all be legitimately born. But the Hebrew word which was mistranslated bastard is the word mamzer, and it means a mixture, a half-breed or mongrel. It has nothing to do with whether the child's parents were married, but it refers to the forbidden intermixture of races, and that is why the penalty extends for 10 generations. And it shows how seriously God treats this sin. It is true that a mulatto child is not to blame for his parents' sins, but he is still a mulatto. The first generation would be a half-breed. The second would have to have at least a quarter of the dark blood. The third, at least one-eighth. The fourth generation, at least one-sixteenth, and so on. Carry that on to the tenth generation, and you will find that there the Negro blood may be as small as one part in 1,024. Yet God himself says that this is too much to be allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, if you admit that your church is not worthy to be called the congregation of the Lord, then perhaps this doesn't seriously concern you. But if your church is or is trying to be the congregation of the Lord, hadn't you better obey God's own commandment concerning it? There must be no integration in the churches. It's a violation of God's own direct commandment. The unfortunate children of such marriages are not the guilty ones, of course. The sin is that of their parents. Yet the fact that they cannot help what they are doesn't change the permanent fact that they are what they are. The experience of thousands of years has demonstrated that the dark races do not have what it takes to produce the white man's high civilization. They've never had it in their own lands, And they only have it here because we, the white majority, created it and maintained it. The mixed breed is the same. It does not have in proper measure those qualities which God so carefully implanted in the white race to carry out certain purposes which he has assigned to them. Recognition that God himself made the races different does not imply hatred or contempt for any of them. Difference has its purposes, which must be respected. I do not expect the family cat to sing like a canary, nor the canary to keep mice out of the kitchen. If I went quail hunting, I wouldn't expect a horse to point quail for me. Neither would I try to saddle and ride the best hunting dog in the world. All the family pets are equally loved, and neither is despised because he can't do what some other does. But each has his own purpose, and trying to mix them up or interbreed them can only harm them. Now, I know there are many people to whom these facts about the Bible are new. There are also many who have learned the evil lesson that they can get more money or more political popularity by violating these laws of God than by obeying them. Some of you may not like to be reminded of these things. But remember, I didn't write the Bible. God wrote it through his prophets, and his commandments are always right. For our own good, for the very survival of our white race upon the earth, and that we may face our own God with a better conscience, we'd better obey these laws of God. Never before in the history of our race has such a spirit of timidity, of abject fear of offending anyone, taken hold of almost everybody. Go where you will, into the homes, the offices, public dinners, public forums, you will still find this idea that certain subjects are taboo. They cannot be mentioned because they are controversial. Oddly enough, only vitally important matters are controversial. Why are you forbidden to freely speak your views on the important subjects of social, economic, political, and religious life of today? It is because the truth has always been controversial. And what makes it controversial? Only the fact that the evil always attack it, and they also attack the man who speaks the truth. Christianity is controversial because all the satanic wickedness in 2,000 years has been hurled against it. The most controversial figure in all history is the one who is the very personification of truth, Jesus Christ. But he never fled from controversy, never kept silent to avoid offending the wicked. To the contrary, he pressed the attack against evil. There is no evil in the abstract. It exists only in the evil deeds of evil persons. These truths Jesus Christ knew and demonstrated. The beginning of his ministry was when he found the temple filled with the corruption of the money changers. Did he preach abstract sermons on the desirability of honesty and of reverence for the house of God? But of course, without mentioning the dishonest or the irreverent? No, indeed. He made a whip of ropes and flogged those crooks out of the temple. He found the temple and all the organized religion of the day in the hands of the Pharisees, men of much outward piety, but who were spiritual frauds. Did he content himself with preaching on religion in the abstract without giving offense to the Pharisees? Oh no, the Bible records 9 times he denounced them as hypocrites, 6 times as blind and fools. Once he identified them as serpents, a race of vipers, and he told them that even the tax collectors and the harlots would enter the kingdom of God before they could. He knew that false ideas cannot arise or exist without someone to teach the falsehood, so he exposed them. Of course, this brought upon him the bitterest hatred ever directed against any person in all history, hatred which is as strong today as it was on the day of the crucifixion. We Christians are also hated for our religion, but Christianity grew great and strong despite its enemies and produced its greatest leaders under the stress of persecution. It was always greatest when it was most controversial. Jesus Christ foresaw this, and in the 10th chapter of Matthew he told us, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You can't proclaim truth without opposition. Water it down until evil no longer attacks you and you have no truth left. The only thing which can peacefully coexist with evil is some other evil. We didn't receive our fine heritage from cowards, neither can cowards preserve it. You should be the one taking the initiative, making the enemy retreat. And if that's controversial, make the most of it.